I appreciate our ministry of music and all that participate. And as we sing together in the congregation, we want to welcome you here together today. This is God's house. We have some visitors with us today, and I pray that we'll treat you as many ways you'll like one of them before you leave here today. So all of our visitors is here. Thank you for being, for the Lord to bless you in a special way. This is a great day. Now, I'm going to ask you to just do a little exercise. I know it's sometimes it's hard, but I'd like for this side of this congregation, would you just all stand up? Just this side, all everybody. Back row, front row, everybody stand up. Okay, turn over here and just wave at everybody over there. Just wave at them. Isn't that a good little group of people? Now, look at them. Just look at them, okay? All right? Thank you. Now, you be seated. Now, since they've been kind to you, would you please rise? And see, we can't, now, don't throw no holy kisses. I mean, we can't even do that, okay? But wave at them, all right? Just wave at everybody over there and make them think you really do know them and love them, okay? Thank you. You may be seated, all right? I think we need to be welcome to church, amen? And so the Bible says, greet of the holy kiss. Boy, that would send us all down the tubes today, wouldn't it? But anyway, we would pray for the Lord to bless us. There's some exciting things. Number one, Vicki Lawson was with us last week, shared her testimony. And this is a book she's written. If you want to read a book, how low you can be in your journey of life and how God can raise you out of it, this is it. This young lady had been through a storm of her life. Her husband murdered a lady and stole from her and spent the rest of his life in jail. He died in prison. And Vicki did not believe she murdered. All that went in. She lost a baby in jail trying to protect him. All kinds of stuff's in this book. Many of them, she was here, and we ran out of books last week. They're out in the Welcome Center. If you'd like to pick one of those up, it's a easy read about how great God is. Take that with you today. You'll be a blessing. We ask you to give a $10 donation for that. And then we have Angie here today. Angie, come on up here. She is our children's ministry. We heard from Kristen last week as the youth are raising money for camp. They're trying to raise a lot of money. As a matter of fact, they've cooked a wonderful meal today. So when you leave here, you go down by the gym, and they will come out, and they'll deliver the food right to your car, and you give them a donation for their soup. Now, Esau in the Bible gave away his birthright for a bowl of soup, okay? Now, I don't want you to give away your birthright, but I want you to donate for the youth ministry to go to camp this year. So we're doing that every last Sunday of the month between now and camp time. The youth provided meals. So don't forget that. Go by and give a donation and help the youth to get that. Now, Angie is our team leader in a children's ministry, and it's going so well and excited. I'm so happy. And she wants to help you to understand how it's working and how you can participate. And Angie, you come and just help us, okay?
Okay, I'm so excited to be here, and I'm going to tell you right now, God is so good, and God is doing some amazing things with our youth and our kids. I mean, you just look at the baptisms that are going on, and, you know, Aaron, our kiddo, we just love him, and he's an amazing kid, and he made that profession of faith last week, and I'm hearing that we will have another one soon. That's a surprise, but God is moving, and I give all the glory to God. And I just want you guys to know that if you can see these kids today and how excited they are to be here and to hear them reciting scripture, I've had over 20 kids recite their scripture this month, and we've brought in 24 bags of rice. Like I said, I was a little behind. It's, I think, peanut butter and jelly, but that's okay. They'll eat rice. But our kids have brought 24 bags of rice to provide to our community. And then they're tithing. We've had over $50. It's going to go right back into the children's ministry that we can do to reach these kids. I mean, God is so good. And we had in January, and I didn't really advertise it a lot because we do have to think about the COVID and everything going on right now. But we had a family fun night. Well, actually, it was the kids, and it was a winter fun theme. And we did a science experiment on how Jesus, when we accept Jesus into our hearts, he can take our sin away and wash us white as snow. We had over 200 snowballs. It was crazy. But we ministered to these kids, and they had a blast. And that is my goal. And next month, we're going to have a drive-in. So save your boxes, because our kids are going to make cars for the drive-in movies. But now, the youth are doing an amazing thing today. And I'm supporting them, and I'm telling you, they helped me so much this last January to see our kids, to see the 8 youth that were volunteering and reaching these kids, and then to see the adults who were coming in together. It is a family, and it's just amazing. God has blessed us. And so they're raising money for the youth camp, and I would like for our children to be able to go to children's camp in June. And we usually use that money from the concessions of Upwards, but because of the COVID, we were not able to have concessions this year. So if you guys feel like you would like to give, right now we have enough to send maybe six, but I have over 15 interested. So I'd love to get these kids to camp. So if you'd like to maybe give monetarily, and there are other ways, and I actually got organized, and I have a list out at the Welcome Center.
She said the nursing station earlier this morning. But
I'm sorry, I was at work. I forgot where I was. That Welcome Center, I have some sign-ups for if you want to sub or you want to be a part of a fun night or you want to give your time or maybe give donations or even snacks or cardboard boxes, anything and everything we will take, or even just your prayers. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to be a part of this wonderful church ministry. And I love you guys, and I thank you.
Angie, how many kids were at your rally?
Oh, 32. 32 kids.
And it was low key. We didn't want to get it out, okay?
Yeah.
And so I want to tell you, the ministry in your church behind the scenes is breaking out. I sit in a staff meeting on Tuesdays and watch these ladies cry about talking about what God's doing with kids. Hear Kristen talk about what God's doing with her youth. Let me tell you something. When you start doing it with kids and youth, mom and dad's going to catch that. Amen? It's exciting. So there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes here at First Baptist. They're part of the team leaders. You voted them in, and they are putting their best into it. And the creative mind for God, I've learned this in my ministry. If I can just commission people for a responsibility and give them a big picture, they fill in the dots so wonderful. They challenge me. My goal is sick them, go get them. And now they're sicking me and helping me to go get them because they're solely caught this. And it's your kids' blessings. And so I know COVID's here, and I know there's a lot of stuff that goes on. But ladies and gentlemen, your kids need Bible study and church as much as anybody in this world. It's the time in the world to give it to them. You think you miss church. You ask your kids if they miss church. They wonder what happened. So I just want you to know we're doing the best to separate. We're doing the best do we can. But let me tell you something. Working together in children and youth ministry, when you build a team of children that love the Lord and love one another, it's your money can't buy that. So think about all that's happening for God's doing and protecting all that we can. Let me tell you something. This is the house of God. Any crisis, any storm, any disease, we need to be right here praying for that, protecting that, and building off of that, not running from it. And so let's just do the best we can. Angie, thank you. Doing a good job. And if I ever hear you slow down, I know where you live. I'll come and get you. Where's my Bible at? I got it somewhere. Oh, here it is. Several months ago, I came to church at 8:30. And me and Kathy got out of the car, came in here to preach. Didn't have my Bible. You ever try to preach out of somebody else's Bible you don't like? You all preach a lot. You preach every day without Bibles. But anyway, you can't find nothing. So I was without a Bible at that 8 o'clock service, 9 o'clock service. And I said, what am I going to do? Because I'm trying to figure this all out, you know. And the reason why I take notes, because I don't chase rabbits. Chasing rabbits drives me nuts when preachers chase rabbits. Notes keep me from the rabbits, okay? And so I send Kathy home. I turned around, and we drove 200 miles that Sunday to get back before church. It was a busy day for us. And she comes in at the end of the service. She got her Bible in the hand, but I'm done. And then she gave me the Bible for the 11 o'clock service, and I wish I didn't have it. I did better at 9 without it. I said, it's amazing how God just gave me the scriptures and the mind. They're ready to go with it. But I got my Bible today, and the title of my message is My Last Chapter at First Baptist. My Last Chapter. I've had two wonderful years here. Kath and I will meet with you after church today. We're going to share with you about our plans and what God's doing. What I've learned from you while I'm here has been a blessing. And I hope that you've learned some things and you continue to be excited about your church. I'm really excited for you. You got a young man coming. Man, I wish I was 38 when I showed up here. Man, I tell you what, it's been a wonderful journey. And I'm glad you have a 38-year-old young man coming here to do things that you never even thought about yet. Amen? I want you to support him. You won't always like him. He'll make mistakes. He won't do them on purpose. He doesn't walk on water. He can't get everybody to love each other. Jesus couldn't even do that. But he's going to work at it, and he needs you to help him. And I expect you to help him. Shame on you if you don't. He's your pastor, amen? And so may the Lord bless us to be all that we can. Now, I want to begin preaching today in the book of Ephesians. This is my last sermon. I don't care how long it lasts. How about you? Oh, and I scared you dead, didn't it? But don't worry. It's short. Now, in my 40 years of pastoring, I was 29 years of age when God called me into ministry. 29. I was living the dream. And I come from the fourth generation pastors in my line. My father was my pastor. My grandfather was an instrument in my ministry. My great-grandfather died before early in life. He was a medical doctor as well as a pastor. And so I grew up with that. And 29 years of age, I surrendered to ministry. Kathy and I sold our house in northern Indiana, and we was moving to Kentucky. Now, when you live up northern Indiana, moving to Kentucky ain't no big deal, okay? I mean, we're moving to Kentucky. Where are you moving to? Kentucky. What are you going to Kentucky for? Well, that's God put us down there, okay? So we came to Kentucky. Our house didn't sell. I didn't have a job. I was enrolled in school with two kids, and my brother was going through divorce, and he ended up giving us his two kids to take care of while he was going through that. So it was four of us in a little apartment. And what God did in my life in those years to follow, I've been all over the world preaching. I've seen thousands of people saved. I've baptized thousands of people in my ministry. And I'm not bragging. I'm just humbled. Because when you walk with God, it's never the same. And I want you to walk with God. I want you to catch some of this. But in my 40 years of pastoring, this is only the third time I say goodbye to Body Believers. In my first church at Cove Baptist, I spent 7.5 years, wonderful years there. There was 20 people there when I came. And it was probably the most exciting 7.5 years of my ministry. We built a building and we were running 200 or 300. It was amazing what God did while I was at Cove Baptist Church in Fairdale, Kentucky. It was amazing. Then I moved to Cecilia, Kentucky. Can you imagine Cecilia, Kentucky? I got out a map to see what that was. You know, it didn't even have, all it had was a spot. I had to take a magnifying glass to find it. I said, Lord, I just did a series in Moses going to the desert, you know, for 40 years. You know, it kind of messed up. I said, Lord, I must have messed up because Cecilia, Kentucky is about the biggest desert I've ever seen. I mean, I stood on the front seat of that steps of that church. I could take a shotgun and shoot anywhere and couldn't hit nobody. There's nothing out there in the country. I said, Lord, what are we going to do in Cecilia, Kentucky? Well, 26 years later, we had 1,000-member churches, planted two churches, and what God did was just phenomenal. And I'm just so honored to be a pastor of a church. Then I came to Brandenburg. They voted me in, and they voted me out, and they voted this way, and they voted that way, but I've made it for 2 years. I've been blessed, all right? I've really been blessed. It's been good. And so we've been working through this, Kathy and I, in a very special way. But I've only said goodbye 3 times. And it's never easy. Kathy and I have learned to love you. Some of you have loved me. Some of you have loved me from a distance. But thank you. It's an honor. Because my goal was to come to get you ready for your church. And I tell you what, you're ready. You hear this report that's going on in the body and the believer through all the corona and through all the stuff we were going through. I'm excited for you. But we're here to say, forever our lives have been changed, Kathy and I. We got up and got dressed today, and we looked at each other, and I said, honey, this is going to be our last trip over there. She says, been good trips, Ronald. She says, Ronald, it's heavenly. I try to keep it heavenly when she says Ronald, all right? And so it's just special. You've taught me a lot. You've taught me. You've taught me more than you know. I've reloaded my gun since I've been here. And I'll tell you more about it at the end of the service, about what we're getting ready to do. So you've helped Kathy and I a whole bunch. We hope we help you. And I'm excited. Brother Seth Miller will be your pastor and his family on their way. He's a young man. He's ready to go. I want you to sit. He's not Ron Davis. Don't play the comparison game because you lose every time. We're not better than each other. We're not worse than each other. We're just different than each other. Just let that settle down. Follow his leadership. Follow his ministry and watch it happen. I've chose the last chapter in the book of Ephesians. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. And let me share this with you. He's in prison. He's in Rome, prisoned in Rome. He wrote most of his pastoral epistles while in prison. He wrote to them. Now, Paul spent the biggest part of his missionary journey in Ephesus. He spent 3 years there. It's a long time for a missionary to be traveling. It's a long time for an intern to hang around. I've been around 2 years, all right? So we were just kind of hanging around, Paul and I. And he wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus. Now, let me tell you, he actually sat down and penned this letter. And his letter become part of our Bible. How would you like to write a letter like that? God inspired Paul how to write, how to motivate, how to build a church. And his letter becomes the Bible. And so we're going to read the letter. And in the last chapter, he's kind of saying goodbye to the Ephesus church, but he's given them a sound warning. He's given them big encouragement to be a good church. Let me tell you something. 85% of all the churches in America, all denominations are plateaued and declining. That was before the virus. I would tell you it's probably 90%. The churches have been hit hard. But all the churches across the board are plateaued or declining. 15% of our churches is reaching our community. Let me share this with you. Brandenburg baptized 5, 10, 15, and 20. I hope you baptize 50 next year. But you know who usually you baptize from your church? Your children. That's who we baptize, and our youth. And we need to do that. But we don't do anything other children. Think about this. You've got to win a world outside these walls. Take care of your body. But your body is here to do what? To touch the world. And so Paul is trying to get this church fired up, and he wrote them a letter, and he starts off in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, finally, I get to write this letter. Finally, I get to encourage you. I've been in prison. I missed you. Man, my heart, I remember you. He calls them brethren. He knew their names. He could picture them. He had their conversations. He had their dilemmas of life. He ministered them. He led them to the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you lead somebody to Jesus, you can probably lead them by anywhere you want to go. Because Jesus brings you together. Amen? And so he led all these people to the Lord. He says, now finally, my brethren, isn't that neat? I want to tell you how much I love you. I want to tell you how much I care for you. I want to tell you what it means to my life. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want you to have a strong church. A weak church is a dime a dozen. A weak church will come to church. Man, we had good music. The preacher didn't preach too long. We had a baptism. Man, we just got it going on. Let me tell you something. Anybody can do that. But a strong church is touching lives outside of this building. And your goal on Monday morning, when you walk out of this door at Sikkim, your goal on Monday morning is to share your faith with somebody before you get back here. How many of you prayed for somebody this week on purpose? Lost, sick. Did you pray on purpose? How many times did we do that? How many times have you ever shared your faith with your best friend that's lost? How many times have you shared your faith? Do you know? Wouldn't it be terrible if our hospital and our nurses didn't know CPR? Wouldn't it be horrible? Wouldn't it be terrible if you're a member of church and you don't know how to lead people to Jesus? You don't know how to share your faith. You've never went through the scriptures. You've never had a plan. Why? See that light? You're the light of the world. That light fights darkness. That light overtakes darkness. But when the light comes on, tell them how to find Jesus. You know how you tell them? Tell them how you found him. Tell them your story. Tell them your testimony. When you was a little boy or girl and you asked Christ to come in your heart and he forgave you. And just tell them your story. And if you haven't been saved, you haven't got a story. And if you haven't got a story, you're probably not going to heaven. You just hope you're going to heaven. Just tell them your story. Brethren, I want you to be a strong church in the power of his might. Holy Spirit power. Miracle power. Power that raises the dead, power that heals people's lives, power that saves every sin, power that transforms us and lets us become light in a dark world and turn our light on. That Holy Spirit power that builds us. Brethren, man, I pray that you will be a strong church and you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you so you can be what God wants you to be, because you're not by yourself. God is within me. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. If you're Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Pentecost, if you're born again, it's the same Holy Spirit. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Now, our churches may see baptism a little bit different, but salvation's the same by grace through faith. Amen. We may say communion may be a little bit different, but the communion is still the body of Christ. Amen. Remembering that. But the deal is, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants us to be strong in the power of his might. Think about His Holy Spirit, because in the days ahead, we're going to have battles and we're going to have problems. I was out last night to midnight. I got a call from some dear blooded brothers and sisters in Christ, family, that were the salt of the earth. I would have put everything I had on their ministries and their lives. Their life is kind of turned upside down. And I asked him, what's going on? I found out real quick, well, Brother Ron, this COVID's been here. I haven't been in church in a year. I knew. Obvious. Go a year without worship. Go a year without fellowship. Go a year without connection. I don't care who you are. You'll need to see somebody at midnight too. You cannot do it your way. The Ten Commandments is pretty sure about the Lord's day. I don't care how busy you are, sir or ma'am. The Lord's day is the Lord's day. And you can reason it away and you can rationalize until you can say you don't have to come. But the Lord's day makes a difference. Amen? And we miss it and it changes us. And I was trying to help them to get back in stride. I got a good friend of mine. He's got cancer. He's actually a member of First Baptist Church of Brandenburg here. George Stewart. Him and Linda joined. He's moved to Florida. And he's in terrible time. I'm getting ready to fly down. I'm going to go see George. I'm going to touch George by the hand. I'm going to hug him and pray for him for the miracle he needs in cancer. We need church. We can't be lone rangers. Try it. How's it working? And so he said, I want you to be strong. And I want the church to be strong. I want it to be a lighthouse. More people are concerned about the White House in America than the church house. And until you get off of that, you're on nothing. If you're stuck on the White House and you're don't know what's going to happen in the White House, come on back to the church house. He wrote the book on what's going to happen. That's the way it's got to be. We get enamored in so many things in life. I have a verse. I preach this. I don't have it on the screen this morning, but I preached a few weeks in 1 Peter. This is my verse for my year. And Roxanne referred to it in her scripture that he just read in Jude about stumbling. This is my verse. It's in 1 Peter 1:10. Write that down. 1 Peter 1:10, put it on your refrigerator. You know why I put it in your refrigerator? You deal with that more than you deal with the mirror. But anyway. There are few brethren. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's my verse. I pray that verse every day. God, I want to walk through 2021. I've fallen hard. I've fallen long. I've hurt myself falling. But God, I'm claiming 1 Peter that I will never stumble if I'll just do these things. I'm going to help you figure out some of those things. But God guaranteed I wouldn't stumble. And that's a true verse. When you mix Holy Spirit power in with that, you can say amen to that. When you just reason out your feelings and your emotions and your past experience, you stumble automatically because we're stumblers. That's a good sermon right there, stumblers. I'll have to write that down, okay? Never preached to stumblers before, but anyway. But I'm praying that we'll not stumble in 2021. Can you pray that with me for your new pastor, your new church? Lord, let us come out of this gate hot. Let this church be great in the power of His Spirit that lives within me. Holy Spirit shall come among us and we'll become His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. We're not on our own here. Now I want you to get to the battle plan of what God wants to do in our lives and to bring us into fullness. We need to prepare for battle. In verse 11, He says it this way, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's His scheming. He's a schemer. He's a liar. He plays bait and switch. He'll bait you and promise you this, and he switches and damns you, kills you, and destroy you. So be careful of the devil's schemes. Adam and Eve was living pretty good in the garden, talking to God every day. And here comes this old devil and says, hey, you need anything in the garden, but I can't eat that. And so the devil distracted him from walking with God. So the devil distracted Adam and Eve for one moment to look at that fruit, and they never walked with God in the garden no more times. The number one way the devil will scheme you is create a distraction on your spiritual journey. And he'll create a distraction and you'll get your eye off the ball. And you won't even know where you're at till you're far in the weeds. This coronavirus took our eye off the ball for the New Testament church. All of us. Nobody escaped that. It was a distraction. Scheming. Trying to destroy everything in my life and your life. So he says, I want you to understand that. And then he says, he does that. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, we're going to read about the armor. You've probably studied it. You've probably seen it before. But here's how this works. You got to do the whole armor from head to toe. The whole armor protects you from falling. Now, I took my grandchildren out sleigh riding the other day. Man, I tell you what, we didn't get to go at all last year, but I tell you what, we have a ball. I'm the professional sleigh rider, okay? I built a church and put a hill there just for that church for my sleigh riding. That's true. I did that. It cost a little money, but they don't know it. But anyway, I got a sleigh riding hill over there. So I take my kids over there, and then that hill was kind of slow, so I tied them behind my Tahoe. That Tahoe was pretty fast with the sled. I'm telling you what, them kids are slinging out there and roll for 10 minutes and laugh and giggle and get up, you know? And so Tanya says, don't hurt them. I said, you made it, Tanya. They'll make it. I said, we're just going to make it. So we was out there having fun. And her mother bought them all the snow suits. I mean, the gloves. I never had clothes like that in my life. I mean, warm clothes. We was out there about a half hour, and Jennifer says, Grandpa, I got to quit. I said, what? She says, I forgot to bring my warm socks, and my feet are freezing. I got to quit. She is warm from head except toes, and she had to quit. Because she wasn't prepared from head to toe. This armor I'm going to tell you about, you put it on from head to toe. Because the devil finds out where you don't have it, and that's where he'll hit you. Say amen to that. And so see, it's real easy to find that weak spot. And so Paul says, I want you to get dressed in the armor of God. Put on the full armor because you're dealing with the devil. This isn't Star Wars. This is the real devil. He wants to destroy everything in your life. He's not interested in just hurting you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your kid. He wants to destroy your church. He wants to destroy America. And let me tell you something. He's having a heyday in America. If you're paying attention at all, America is more about rights than what is right. Isn't it amazing how that word just changes with an S? Everybody wants their rights. You know, the woman's rights, the gay rights, everybody's rights. What makes America work is what's right. And we spin it with rights. And you're going to hear more about rights in these years to come you've ever heard in your life. And they spin it. And then they make us feel guilty because we don't acknowledge everybody's rights as right. We're after that. It's coming our way. The schemes of the devil are working full in our lives. But I'm that kind of guy. I'm that kind of guy. I don't mind a good fight as long as I win. I'll fight hell as long as I win. I'll walk in the depths of the depth as long as I win. And when you're walking with Christ, the armor on, we win. And you got to put the armor on because you're not smart enough or sharp enough or been in church long enough to deal with this on your own because the devil is scheming to get us. And so as he talks about this, he wants us to be a part of all the things that he wants to put in our lives. In verse 11, he begins to tell us. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, which you've done all to stand. Would you take because the evil day is coming. Let me tell you something. You know, grandparents, your biggest concern you have right now is your grandchildren living in this land. In your watch as a grandparent, you have seen where America's come from and how far it's fallen, if you're paying attention. And we're concerned about our families, and we have a right to do, but we must teach our kids what's right so they can overcome the rights of the world. And so the schemes are there forever. And he wants to destroy so much in our lives. He says, stand therefore, girding yourself with your waist, truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the battle plan is get dressed with truth. You ever watch Few Good Men, Jack Nicklaus, and that big stand on that courthouse, and they said, we want the truth. Young man, you can't handle the truth. Let me tell you something. America cannot handle the truth. They look at us like we're bigots, we're uncompromising, we're legalist. They can't handle the truth. But here's this. You got your girded right here with truth. And you walk through life with truth. You know what truth is? The schemes are coming. The bait is out there. But you stay in the truth. Understand the Ten Commandments. That's God's top ten deals he wants us to play with. But I want you to know the truth. Can you quote the truth? Can you help people who are going through the storms of their life and tell them the truth? Truth sets people free. I don't want to be lied to, and I don't want to lie to you. And the only way I can do it is tell the truth and nothing but the truth. But America today cannot handle the truth. But you know what we are? We're truth sayers. Amen? So I want you to get dressed. Put that, gird your loins. And it's full of truth. And you know it. And you'll not be schemed in this. Because truth is strong. It makes us free. It says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. He said, the whole armor of God, that you may withstand the evil day and done all. Stand there, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplates of righteousness. Now, my breastplate, I guess right here would be an easy target to take me out. This is a good way to knock you down right here. Your heart's here, your lungs here, everything's right here. So you put the breastplate of righteousness on. And you know what righteousness does? Righteousness means I can stand right next to Jesus and be proud. I'm his child. My righteousness, I have God with me. I have God in me. Now, let me tell you something. My righteousness does not come by my performance. My righteousness does not come by my prayer. My righteousness does not come by anything. My righteousness comes because of the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary who died for me. His blood brought righteousness. It brought grace. It brought love. And I stand next to God one day when I see him, when time is no more. He says, well done, thy good and faithful service. The only righteousness I have to give him is his son Jesus who lives in me, walks with me, and kept me straight. That's my righteousness. It's Jesus plus nothing. My righteousness is nothing. I don't have any righteousness. But I've got Jesus. I got a breastplate of righteousness. I got a breastplate of a Jesus protecting those bullets. Isn't that neat? I got truth right here. I got the breastplate of righteousness standing right next to Jesus. And he'd walk over and say, boy, Ron, I love you. I'm proud of you. All them sins got washed away a long time ago. And you continue to ask me to help you, and they washed them away. You know, some people think that getting baptized washes your sins away. If you did that, we'd have to start sprinkling. We'd have to run a hose over you every Sunday to get in here, okay? the blood washed it away. Amen? The water represents the Spirit of Christ joining the church. So don't ever think that baptism washes you away. Because I baptized so many people, that'd be dirty. I baptized about 150 Africans in a little pool of water. And there was more mud on their feet than it was in the bottom of the water. Can you imagine 100 of those when I got done? I felt like I was muddy from head to toe. It didn't wash away nothing but the love of Christ. Amen? Think about that. When God comes, he just washes us, he renews us, and he gives us the breastplate of righteousness, and we can walk in his fullness in all that he has for us. And having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and the salvation of who believed, to the Jew first and then the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. In your break room, if you're ashamed of the gospel, ask God to help you with it. If you're walking in life and your kids, have your kids ever heard you pray? Have the Kurds ever heard you share the Bible with them? Isn't it amazing? Before they get their license, you'll train them and make sure they can drive, but you send them out to a world lost with Christ and never prepare them with the shields of God in their heart. Let me tell you something. A little 18-year-old boy and girl or 16-year-old boy, when they got God with them, they got the sixth sense. They got God helping them. He promised that they'll never be tempted more than they can bear, but a lost boy and girl don't have that promise. It makes all the difference in the world, and you need to give them the word. Practice it. Read it to them. My little grandson, Dimitri, he's a bookworm. A lady at Cove Baptist Church gave him the Bible in cartoon form. I'm driving down the road today, me and Kathy, and says, now, Grandpa, in a second coming, when the tribulation comes, what all is going to happen there? I can't figure that out. I said, second coming, tribulation. I said, what do you know about that? He says, I got this Bible in church, and I've read it six times from front to end. It's cartoon form. And he said, I'm really interested in that tribulation. I said, Zachary, I'm proud of you. He says, why? I said, most of my deacons don't know about the tribulation. You got it going on. You're excited. He'd been reading his Bible. It's not a full-page Bible, but it's in cartoon form. But he got it. He's been reading it and reading it and reading it. And he knows about the second coming of Christ. And he's trying to figure it out. So am I. So are you. Here's what we know. He is coming. That's what we know. But he asked me that question. I was so excited. I didn't know that when I was 12 years old. Having shod the feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not either. I have been. There were times in my life when I needed to open up and share the love of Christ, and I was so intimidated, I just couldn't. I just couldn't do it. But I'm not ashamed of it. And I don't want to stumble. I don't want to be some right-wing nut that's going to throw the Bible down your throat and beat you up and tear you down. I want to share the gospel of peace. And that's truth. I want to be able to do that. When you read it a lot, it just comes natural. God gives that memory. Scriptures just come to me every day of my life into gospel sharing. It becomes natural. Remember about little Jennifer? Her toes got cold and she quit. You need to cover your feet with the gospel of peace. Amen? Because you can freeze your toes and quit. Nextly, above all, taking the shield of faith with you, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. See, the devil's an accuser. He accuses everybody all the time. He says, Ron Davis, you're a sinner. You ain't lying to me. He tells us about our sins. He reminds us about it. He's all the time accusing me. Revelation. I just opened that scripture. I said, you're exactly right. I'm not much. But let me tell you who my attorney is. His name is Jesus. He represents me now. He don't charge nothing. And because Jesus is in my heart, devil, get behind me. Because you can't stop me. I have to know the gospel. Faith. I love this. Faith is when you just know what God's going to do. You can't see it, but you know it. Because he lets you see it. And the devil says, I'm going to stop them. I'm going to throw these darts, these fiery darts right in their life, right in their path. I'm going to nail them. I'm going to make them afraid. I'm going to show fiery darts. I'm going to give them a virus. I'm going to give them a dart. I'm going to give them a disease. And I'll just keep them over there in the corner. And so all of a sudden we lose that faith. See, faith is so exciting. I read a story one time. It was a black couple, African-American couple, and they were talking about their grandma had so much faith. And they give the illustration, says, my grandmother has so much faith. If God told you to get up and walk through that door, Grandma, what would you do? Grandma says, I'd just get up and start walking. Well, why would you do it? Well, I'm walking, and when I get there, there'll be a door. I don't see it. I believe it. And when you can see this, you can see it in your children. You can see it in your marriage. You gain it. And the devil will try to throw every dart at you to make you quit seeing it. And so you quit walking. So you keep going and you stop. But he says he quenches those darts. I used to do some welding. You heat up your piece of metal and you're going to temper that metal. And you get it real hot and you throw it in the water. Cools it right down. Here's that shield of faith. Here comes the devil throwing those darts. And he hits your shield. And you know what happened? Cools it right down. It can't burn you. Because your faith is what God gave you. And the Bible says you can't please him without faith. And let me tell you about faith. You can document faith. Reading your Bible about all those great men and women who took great giant step of faith, it's documented. Can you document your faith? When's the last time you started walking and what you couldn't see and you got there, it was there because you had enough faith to believe it was going to be there? Or did you stop? Or did a fiery dart quench it? Churches are stuck in their pew. You've sit here for so long, you don't realize the world to be taken. I was talking to John, Mark, and Karen before the service. They was over at a store buying some stuff, and they witnessed to people over there and invited them to come to church. And they've been here every Sunday, and they're excited. You know what? They're excited. It works. Who have you invited? Who have you invited to your church? Who have you prayed for to come to church? You're so busy being distracted, you forget the armor of God. Because when you see people saved and lives changed, it changes your life. And it always does. So getting dressed for this is pretty exciting. The whole armor. And I'd love to see Brother Seth come in here in his first Sunday. Somebody stand up and say, Brother Seth, we're armored up, head to toe. Tell us what to do. Tell us how to do it. We want to be all that we can be for the kingdom of God. We want to help you, Seth. Brother Seth, we're here. We've sat for too long. We've polished the brass too long in this place. Tell us how to go and do it. And it's amazing when that happens. I've seen it happen. I've seen God take people in the middle of Cecilia, Kentucky, that was such a cornfield that you couldn't even find it on a map. I've seen him raise up 1,000 people. I've seen that church baptize and lead over 1,000 people to the Lord for the last 20 years of my ministry there. 1,000 a year. We traveled all the world to do it. But God loved the world. And he commissioned us to go to the world. Because there was a little people group in Cecilia, Kentucky, who had enough faith to believe we could do this. When I went there at Franklin Crossroads, it was a little country church out in the middle of nowhere. And this one guy says, Brother Ron, I believe we're going to change this town. I said, we don't even have a town. We don't even have a town. Let's name a town. He says, I believe we're going to do this. He said, I believe we're going to baptize 100 people here. I said, I can't see 100 people here. Yeah, we are. My little deacon there had so much faith in his church. That year came when we baptized 100 people there that year. He walked up to me and said, Brother Ron, I told you it was coming. I thought he was crazy. But he taught me about faith. I learned from them. And then it started happening. People like Angela and Kristen just took on responsibility of the church. And they begin excited. And then they caught it. Then everybody else starts catching it. Everybody else can serve. You can work. You didn't know what to do in church. Now you got a youth ministry you can work. We need you. We got children's ministry. We need you. We need a mission field. We need you. See, there's so much to do. And we don't know what to do anything. Because our faith has been robbed. When I left last night, I told them, when your faith comes back, this mountain will go away. When your faith comes back, this mountain will go away in front of you. That's how this works. How many believe that? Just say amen. It works. And I want you to believe that. I want you to be prepared for this. I need to finish this. I don't want you to leave mad. But he changes everything. He talks about 17, to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're now on offense. The helmet of salvation. Jesus said, let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. You get your head protected. He give you a sword. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And you take the word to the world. And you go out there. And you just invite people to come to church. Just be real nice. It's okay if they don't come. But here's what happens. Now get this. I tell my evangelism team that goes out on our visitation programs every time. Everybody we invite to church, none of them may come. Because we were doing it, God fills the house. See, if you think you're waiting on your victory to build a church, you be faithful doing what God says, and God will build the church. But see, we said we've asked people to come and they don't come. We've asked people to help them and they don't want it. And you ask two or three and you quit. You keep asking. You watch God will do in your church, because he's looking for vessels of people that he can trust to build faith in people's lives. He will not fill a church unless there's leadership here to grow that church, because he's interested in his people's whereabouts. So I just want you to remember, when you go and knock on somebody's door and they don't come, don't feel bad. You knocked on a door and you do what's supposed to do, and you watch God fill the house. Got it? I remember one time I went to one of those timeshare things. You ever been in a timeshare deal? Don't ever do it. Okay, but anyway. And so the lady came to this and she spilled all this bill, told me all this and how they're going to save, going to bless my family and all this stuff. I said, ma'am, I'm broke. I don't have any money. I can't do this. She said, no problem. No problem. I said, really? She said, yeah, I got to share this 10 times before I sell it, and you're one of my 10. But you're going to sell one that day. And you may be one of the 10 that never had anybody say yes, but because she was out there, God's going to give the increase. Amen? So don't wait to see results. Just let God give the results. And so I want you to have that helmet. I want you to have that sword of truth. And I want you to walk through the world and protect what God has. Now I close with this. In verse 18, praying always with all prayer. I want you to pray with all prayer. Isn't that how'd that word, all prayer? I thought your prayer was prayer. Well, I kind of wrote that down, started working on this week. Let me tell you something about all prayer. There's a prayer of forgiveness. Have you forgiven anybody lately? There's a prayer of intercessing, praying on somebody's behalf. There's a fervent prayer. The Bible says a fervent prayer of a righteous man. I always thought the righteous would win people, but it's the fervent prayer that wins people. Fervent prayer. You don't give up. When two or more gathered, a community prayer in his name. Shouldn't the church been full of community praying for our community during a virus? Fast in prayer. How about the Lord's Prayer? Praying the Lord's Prayer. How about a healing prayer? Praying for the great healer to show up. How about a thanksgiving prayer? Prayer of thanksgiving. How about a deliverance prayer? I pray the deliverance prayer in every county jail I go into, every prison I've been into, for the deliverance in their lives. That God, my God, is a deliverer. How about the prayer of blessings? Just pray for God to bless you. One of the best prayers of blessings that I can read in my Bible is in the book of Jude. Here's how he closes his book. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and is present in your faultless, and to be presented with your faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. What a prayer. What a prayer. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, just praying. Just praying. And then I leave you with this on my behalf as well as Brother Seth's behalf. Brother Seth is leaving the church, been there 12 years. Can you imagine what they're feeling and how much we need to pray for them? Okay? It's very important. It's in the one-sided street. It's a kingdom. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful for the end. See, I'm living for the end of my life. I'm not quitting my end. I'm waiting. I'm like Dimitri. I'm waiting for that second coming stuff to happen. I'm living to the end. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, this is what Paul says, for me, I'm in prison, I'm chained. But for me, here's what he says. Utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth and boldly make known the mysteries of the gospel. That I may be able to open my mouth and boldly make known the mysteries of the gospel. I love my ministry. But this word sometimes cuts deep. You think I enjoy preaching a deep cutting message? Sometimes this scriptures wakens us up. Sometimes it hurts us. Sometimes it's just painful. I've been doing it for a long time. Sometimes when I'm done preaching, I go home and cry. It was a hard message. I hope it didn't hurt nobody. I hope they got it. I don't like that, but pray for me that I will always open my mouth with boldness to proclaim the wonderful grace of Christ. And no politics will stop it. No money will stop it. Just the grace of Christ. And I want you to pray that prayer for your pastor, Brother Seth, that he stands in his pulpit. You'll get to know him and he'll get to know you. Before long, he can preach what fits here. And everybody get along. But the gospel never fits. My grandpa said, now son, Ronnie, when you get ready to preach the gospel, you're going to ask that person to change their whole life. And if you haven't asked them to change their whole life, you ain't preached it. When you ask them to preach to change their whole life, give them an invitation to change. Because they'll forget in 10 minutes. But the change will never go away. And when I preach the gospel, may it encourage you to change your whole life as it does me. I'm like the old preacher. I get to eat while I'm cooking and enjoy the truth of God's word. But pray that my mouth will always be with boldness and love and help me to be all that God wants us to be. This isn't easy. I am not ashamed because I live too far ashamed. You know, I've known this when I came here. I learned this. Abortion was never mentioned in this pulpit that they could remember before I show up. Never mentioned one time. The biggest sin that breaks God's heart in this world is killing babies. One every 30, I don't know how many dying of the coronavirus, but every 30 seconds there's a baby dying in America. Do you know that? But see, it's just not really correct because we have rights. Homosexuality. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah over it. Don't tell me it's not a big deal. I love gay people. I'm not even mad at gay people. But let me tell you something. If you want to be gay, be celibate. Be celibate. Is it okay for the married couple to have adultery? Stop that. It's sin. But somehow the gay can just do it because they have rights. The spin has tore up our churches. And it's more political than you realize right here. Horrible. And it needs to be the gospel. Friend and foe. It must be truth. It must be love. And it must bring everybody in the kingdom of God. Amen? And may your days be bright. And pray for my mouth and Seth's mouths to preach the full gospel without shame or fervor. I had a TV ministry at Crossroads. I had six formerly gay people who had been converted into celibacy and lived a lifestyle of gay lifestyle for over 20 years, share their testimony from the pulpit at Franklin Crossroads Baptist Church. And you know what? They said, Brother Ron, you had gay people in your pulpit. I says, is gay any worse than adultery? I've had adulterers in my pulpit. I've had liars in my pulpit. I've had all kinds of sin in my pulpit. These people are telling you how good God is to fix their lives. God cleansed them up. Oh, man, they were ready to throw me on the bus. You know what I did? They didn't get it the first time. I need you back next week. I want to show how good God is. Their testimony was powerful. How God took them out of that. How God took him out of alcohol. How he took him out of adultery. How he took him out of an immoral lifestyle. God takes us out of that stuff. But we can't act like it's not there. Man, I have people write me. I have people that I just won't tell you that. It just goes with the job. But my God is so good. He wins every time. If we just love people. Now, I hear people damn and condemn, you know, those sinners over here. I remember when I was first saved, I smoked. Back in those days, if you smoked, you was a sinner. You know, it was a sinner. And so, I'm going to church, and I'm smoking. I'd have my cigarettes in my pocket, and then the preacher preached about it. And so, I'd just take my cigarettes, and I'd throw it on the dash. Wouldn't take them in church, because I started getting convicted, you know. But I ain't going to quit smoking. I don't believe smoking's killing nobody. I heard all them sermons, and I fought that smoking stuff, and they just beat me up about smoking. Then one day I came home and Tanya was about 7 years old and little blue-eyed, little beautiful little girl with blonde hair. And I sit down on the couch and smoke a cigarette and she says, Daddy, if you keep smoking, you may not be my daddy forever. I haven't smoked a cigarette since. You're talking about a sermon. That little girl changed my life because she was right. She was right and I was wrong. In the church of God, week in and week out. That's just an illustration how screwed up we are. We're stuck. And may we not stumble. Amen? Stand at your feet. I'm setting this up for Seth. He may want to preach 2 hours his first Sunday when he gets here. And you're almost ready for it, okay? And you're almost ready for it. I'm setting it up for him, all right? Now, we're going to sing this invitation. If Mackenzie was baptized today, if you've never been baptized and you would like to follow in obedience of Christ to baptism once you've been born again, maybe you need to come and say, God, just help me be in a church that I can grow. Come and follow in obedience of baptism by asking Jesus into your life. Maybe you've already saved but never been scripturally baptized. Maybe you'd like to come make a decision for that today. Maybe you need a church family or church home. Or maybe you just need to come and pray. I've been stumbling too long. And I need your help today, God. This is a great place to get it. Amen? As we sing, it's your decision. Make it today.